Chapter 14 in the book of Zechariah, beginning at the first verse as to the coming of the Lord, says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee." Speaking of Jerusalem now. "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle." Now think about that. I want you to give the more earnest heed to this as I read it to you now. "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem." Now, how many times have we told you that that's what would happen? See, now here's your confirmation in the Bible. "I will gather America against Jerusalem." Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody says, not America. It says, "I will gather Germany against Jerusalem. I will gather England against Jerusalem. I will gather Russia against Jerusalem. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle." Isn't that what it says? It says, "All nations, I will gather them against Israel. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." Now somebody says, what is going to happen, Brother Pike? When they gather against Jerusalem, is the Jews just going to get up like they did in that 6-day war and just beat them down and take over and rule the world? Absolutely not. The Bible said, "I'll make Jacob to pass through the fire." The Jews have been haughty, contrary, arrogant. Paul said they've killed all the prophets that ever came to them. They stoned all the wise men that ever come to them. And Paul said the wrath of God has come upon them to the uttermost. And said besides that, he that is a Jew outward is not a Jew anyway. He that is a Jew inwardly, Paul said, he is the true Jew. Now, let's go over this one more time now. It says, in that day. What day? What day? Chapter 14, the day of the coming of the Lord. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Now that's the 13th chapter, but let's go back to the 14th chapter. I want to tie these together as we go down. "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled." So then what's going to happen when the armies gather together against Jerusalem? See, what will happen when all nations gather together against Jerusalem? First of all, when is this going to happen? When will this happen? I've told you that it's in connection with the coming of the Lord. See, it's in connection with the coming of the Lord. "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh." The day of the Lord cometh. There's a day coming. I know that we can't hardly believe that. And people talk about it so much, you know. And they say, well, it ain't happened yet. But nevertheless, the Bible said the day of the Lord cometh. Folks, there's going to be a day of the Lord coming. The Lord Jesus Christ shall come. Job in his day. Job made the statement. He said, though the skin worms devour my body. He said, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He said, I myself shall see him, not another, but I myself shall see him, for he shall stand upon this earth in the latter times. Jesus Christ will stand on this earth in the latter times. Not only did he do it as to following that as to Calvary, coming from the day of Job, but there's coming a time when he's going to come back for the Israelite people. Someone said, well, he's coming back after you and I. Folks, he's already come back and got me. Me and him went away, like the song says, you know. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee." That is, all that you own, Jerusalem, will be divided there in the midst of you as with the enemy, even to the people. "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken." What will happen when the armies come? The city is going to be taken. They're going to take the city of Jerusalem. If you and I own property in the city of Jerusalem, they're going to come right in and take everything in the city of Jerusalem. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken. Jerusalem shall be taken. And the houses rifled. That is, they'll go through and just spoil the houses and take whatever they want to. He said, and the houses rifled and the women ravished. The women will be ravished. They'll take advantages of the women and ravish the women. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity. They'll capture half of the city. It said, but the rest of the people will flee. Or he said, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. It is at that time that Revelation 19 takes place. And all of a sudden, out of the heavens comes the Lord Jesus Christ on the white horse, and then comes Brother Pike with him and Brother Taylor and all the saints of God. They come out with the Lord, right out of the heavens. They come with the Lord on the white horses, and we come against all of the nations of the world. Every nation in the world, we will come against every nation in the world. And it will not be Jerusalem that defeats the nations. It will be we with the Lord Jesus. And the Bible said out of his mouth will go that two-edged sword, and it will slay the people until the blood runs up to the horse's bridle. So then we know what's going to happen. Why do we have to go ask somebody what's going to happen? Or how's this thing going to come about? It says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh. When is this day of the Lord? Well, we're going down a little farther and we tell you when it is. The day of the Lord cometh like a thief in the night. In an hour that you think not, the Lord will come and appoint the hypocrite his portion, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Lord cometh, how will he come? On over in this 14th chapter, I'll tell you in just a few minutes. But the Lord cometh, and the Bible said, and his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Tell them of the coming of the Lord, for our Lord shall come again. For his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, and there he'll take away the sins. So then the day of the Lord cometh. He says here, but the armies will gather together first around Jerusalem. Already this thing is in the makings. I remind you again that in the day when Gorbachev was here, he was speaking of the unionized army, so that a command can be given as to one army and all of them can go in against Jerusalem. So he says here, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west. Remember now, the Mount of Olives will cleave in halves toward the east and toward the west. Now, a lot of times it's asked, how will this mountain break forth, Brother Pike? Some of you that are sitting here, you've been with me up on top of the Mount of Olives. The Bible said that Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives. And it was said by the angel that came, the way that you've seen him go, so shall he come again. See, there, the Mount of Olives, he will set his feet upon the Mount of Olives, the same place that he ascended from. He will come again there and stand upon the Mount of Olives. So then we see that he will stand upon the Mount of Olives, just as Job said, in the latter days, my Lord shall stand upon this earth. And he will place his feet. He will stand there. It says his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. Remember, it's on the east side. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Remember now, the valley of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. That is, if it cleaves in the mist, and already scientists say that they found a crack in it, but already it's beginning to break open. So then it must cleave in half when he stands upon the Mount of Olives. And when he does stand upon the Mount of Olives, that this great valley will be toward the north and the south. So that the water that's going to come forth can run down that valley into the Dead Sea to bring life in it, because the Dead Sea represents Jerusalem, or that is Israel. And there is no life in Israel until the Lord returns. They died at his departure. When the head was crucified, then the body died. And when the head comes back to the mount as to where he ascended from, then all of a sudden, from that mountain is going to go out water into the Dead Sea. And the healing of the waters is going to come. And it's going to signify that Jerusalem, as to the Israelites, has been accepted by God. The blindness in part is going to leave, and they're going to be the children of God just like you are. They're the predestinated of God, but they're just a little bit different from your approach. The Bible speaks of some being saved by faith and some being saved through faith. Speaking of the Jews. Then it says here, in the day that he sets his feet there, he will be coming for battle. For in the fourth verse, it says he will set his feet there. In the third verse, it says, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. That is, as quick as the nations are united, they gather together, then the Lord himself will come and he will fight those nations. Because Jerusalem can't fight those nations. The Israelites can't fight those nations. Half of the city will fall prey to these people that will be so powerful. How can a little nation like Jerusalem fight all of the world? See, they can't do that. They didn't win that 6-day war. It's reported that there were sandstorms and different things that came up where God won that war for them, to protect them until the time when this great battle was to take place. So he said, I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken and the houses rifled. It says, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him. Now that's me and you right there. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. Now you might say, well, Brother Pike, I've always wanted to go to Jerusalem, but I never got to go there. And some that are already passed on, that's buried out in the graveyard, their desire was to go to Jerusalem, but they never did make it. But right here, they're going to get a trip to Jerusalem. They're going to go over there and they're going to see it. For it says, that is, they'll be resurrected from the dead. And all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. Shall there be one Lord and his name one. Now, can you understand what I'm saying? I want to elaborate a little bit on it, but I want to go on down and read first. Notice now, it's going out to the sea, both ways to let the water in. Like we speak of the Mediterranean and we speak of the sea, the Dead Sea, we speak of Galilee, all these seas, they have purposes. And it says here, it shall be in summer and in winter. Someone says, Brother Pike, will there be any seasons out in the millennium? I was telling you that there will. There will be harvest time. There will be those things because it's going to be this earth. That isn't going to be the new earth. Someone said, but I don't believe that. So, well, why don't you believe that? Well, the Bible said the heat of the day shall not light upon them. There will be no coal upon them. I know, but you've got the cart before the horse. So you're way over in the celestial and you're way over in the new earth and you've done jump clear over the millennium. See, and you've got to understand what the Lord is saying to rightly divide the Word of God. We're speaking of this earth right here. I'm talking about the millennium earth. I'm talking about that within 10 years from now, according to the calendar, that's going to come in another millennium. The word millennium meaning 1,000 years. And there's fixing to come in 1,000 years, which appears to be the rest of the Lord, in that the end of this decade, as to the next 10 years, will end 6,000 years, which seems to be the working days of the Lord, in that the Bible said a day is as 1,000 years with God and 1,000 years as a day. So then we see that it says here that this will be in winter and it shall be in the summer, because there's going to be harvests out there. There's going to be homes built out there. They're going to build houses, and the Bible said they will dwell in them and other people won't take them away from them. They're going to have their own crops out there. And it's going to be like the land of Canaan. And they're going to have their own cows out there. And the Bible speaks of the milk that one cow will give when the curse is lifted. And the Bible said every man will sit under his own vine. They'll have their own grapevine, their own vineyards out there, you know. And the Bible said, and nothing shall harm in all my holy mountains, saith the Lord. For the child shall play with the lion, play with the cockatrice, and all these other things, and nothing shall harm, for Satan will be bound 1,000 years. See, by then, that lets you know that the devil is the troublemaker, doesn't it? It lets you know that he's the troublemaker. So then, I wanted to drop that in as we went along, that earth is still this earth, and that the people are still these people, and that 1,000 years is equal to about 12 or 15 lifetimes as to your lifetime now, in that your life is accounted for as 70, which is about 70 years. See, so 1,000 years, people are going to be there, but they're not going to die out. Not going to be like that. It's going to be different altogether. Somebody said, well, everything will be just right, Brother Pye. It will. It'll be just right for the believer, just like it is right now. Somebody said, but Brother Pye, it'll be just right for everybody because there isn't going to be anybody out there but good folks. Well, anyway, we need to read on down a little bit. It says right here, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. King over Monroe, Georgia. King over New York. King over Atlanta, Georgia. King over London. You understand what I'm saying? I just kind of break this down a little bit for the children's sake. King over all the earth, it says. All of the earth. Somebody would say, well, how is he going to see all of the earth, Brother Pike? Where is he going to place his kingdom? It'll be right there at Jerusalem. The city of the great king, the city of David. When he speaks of this mountain cleaving in half, that's where those gates are going to come open. That's on the eastern side. See, that mountain is on the eastern side where those eastern gates are that's been closed all this time. And the Bible said it's to the east and to the west. This thing will cleave. If it does go to the east and the west, then to the north and the south comes the valley. So if it goes from the east and the west, it says, and out of Jerusalem will come forth this water. Already they're finding there in the temple that the water is springing up. There in the place of the excavation, or there at the temple. See, and the water is springing up already. So then, if this goes from east to west, and that is on the eastern side, then that mountain moving westward would have to affect that wall. because it's right there at that wall, and it would automatically break that resistance down as to open those gates that the King of Glory may come straight down from the mountain and go right in through those eastern gates, just as on the day when he went in on the back of an ass, when they cried, "Hosanna to the Lord," going in on Palm Sunday, and when they told him to hold their peace, and they said, "If you do, the rocks will cry out praise unto him. Hosanna to the Son of David." And they closed the door, and there was never anyone to go in there after that. So then that day will come as the day of the Lord, which is when he sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, the day of the Lord. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. I like that, don't you? That just thrills me when I say that, because he and I are friends. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Hallelujah. And in that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, under the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel under the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Did you notice the terms is no more utter destruction? It didn't say anything about no more destruction. It said utter destruction, because there's some things that are to come. And it says, and men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Can you understand that kind of battle? Can you understand the Lord fighting in such a way that their flesh will actually consume away while you stand there and look at them while they're standing on their feet? And their eyes shall consume away in their holes, or that is in their sockets. To think that their eyes, a consummation from God, will cause their eyes to literally consume away in the sockets. And their tongues shall consume away in their mouth. Their mouth, their gossiping tongue, shall be rooted out, the Bible says. And the tongue in their mouth shall utterly consume away. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold everyone on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of the beast. And that shall be in these tents as this plague. He's not even going to leave them their animals. The consummation will consume them. The Bible said God is a consuming fire. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. All right, now listen. Someone says, "Brother Pike, who is going to be in the tribulation? Who's going to pass through the tribulation? Is there anybody going to be saved in the tribulation? How do you account for that, Brother Pike? That if the saints of God are translated into the kingdom of God before the tribulation, and they are transfigured into the great wonderfulness of God as to appear with them in glory like Moses and Elijah," they say, "where are we going to be?" That's where you'll be, in glory like Moses and Elijah. Where they were at in glory. When they went away, they went into glory. When they appeared on the mountain there to where they could see them, they were in glory. When Jesus went up on that mountain and he vanished as to from this world to that world, he went into glory. See, we will be in glory. This glory is within you, and it's working its way from the kingdom of God out into your very individual being, that the life of Christ, which is God's glory, might be made manifest in your mortal genes, because this is what it was all about to start with. In the garden, Adam and Eve was illuminated with the glory of God, with the Shekinah of God, and that was the image of Christ. Even there they were saved until they lost this great illumination. See, so it means that we are returning in body to this lost image. And God, rather than destroy us with the brightness of His coming, in that the brightness of His coming after the millennium will do away with the sea and the mountain and the people and everything else, He hath come into our hearts and veiled Himself within us and is by measure, proportionally speaking, from measure to measure, from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation, from understanding to understanding, God is revealing Himself to our understanding to keep from destroying us, that we might comprehend a little of this light at a time until we become one with the light. That's the way God does it. So, we see here what the Bible is saying, and the thought comes again, who's going to go through the tribulation? Remember, when these nations gather in around Jerusalem, this is the tribulation. That's during the time of the tribulation. Some woman got some crazy idea. I think she's a wealthy woman, and she got the attention of her followers, and she told them that they'd have to take to the underground now, you know, because the tribulation was now upon us. Or she said the battle of Armageddon is upon us. That's altogether wrong. That's foolishness. See, the battle of Armageddon doesn't take place until after the tribulation is almost completely expired. So it has nothing to do with that. That's just a lot of foolishness, and she's leading a lot of people into chaos. But nevertheless, we're not to be disturbed over those things. When we see all those things and we hear all those things, we're children of light. We're children of truth. We're not to let those silly things disturb us and tear us down. That's why I preach to you. The Bible said it's a good thing that the heart be established, and that in the grace of God, that ye should not be carried about by every wind of doctrine and all of these wild publications. It says, notice now, and it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance, as it was in the days of Jerusalem when they went in and fought a battle. God gave them all of the wealth of the people. Now then, here the Lord is going to gather every nation under heaven against Jerusalem and give Jerusalem all of America's wealth, all of Germany's wealth, all of London's wealth, all of the wealth of the world. And they're going to confiscate that and have control of it in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and the ass, of the beast that shall be in those tents as this plague. Now listen real close on the 16th verse. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem. So then what are we saying? Will there anybody go through the tribulation period? It said all of the nations will be gathered together against Jerusalem. And it says here that every person of those nations that are not slain in the battle, that those people will be right there. They will be right there. Now let me read it to you again. Somebody says, you mean those wicked bunch of devils? No. I'm not saying those wicked bunch of devils. Do you think everybody in all the nations is a wicked bunch of devils? I don't feel like they are, though there are a lot of wicked bunch of devils among them. So it shall come to pass that everyone, speaking individually, that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king. Someone would say, well, then you mean that everyone that goes over there in that battle, Brother Pike, that don't get killed, that they're just going to go right on into the millennium? No. I got a feeling that them that went into battle is going to turn into blood. The Bible said he'll consume their animals. He'll consume their eyes and their tongues and their bodies. What then is he saying? It's just like today. You know, when our armies go to battle, all of our people don't go to battle. Our children and wives stay home. See, but when the Lord is king over all the earth after the battles and after these people have been destroyed, then what's going to happen to the people of America after their army is destroyed and God has overthrown the American government? And what's going to happen to Germany when God has overthrown that government and all the other governments of the world? What's going to happen to the people? Is God just going to come down and destroy them? No, he doesn't do that. It says here, and all of them that are left, they're going to be under the great king. They're going to be under the regime of the great king. Why would God kill everybody and make the earth desolate? That wouldn't make any sense at all. Somebody said, well, I thought you told me that God was just going to send a whirlwind and sweep away America and everybody and all the buildings and the government and everything, and it's just going to be a barren desert. So then the Lord's going to come back and he's going to have a barren desert. And they're going to set him on a throne in the middle of a barren desert and he's going to rule over the barren desert. Let's give the Lord a hand. You know, we need to rightly divide the word and we need to do a little thinking, because God's plan was to save the people. That's why I'm evangelizing, is to save the people. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you know that if they don't get saved here, they're going to hell. Well, if that be the truth, then why the Bible said that if he that blasphemed the Holy Ghost cannot be saved, nor in this world, nor the world to come. Sounds like there's going to be some judgment in that world. That's going to be another world. Just like it was after the flood. Just like it was after Calvary. The end of the world. See, then what is meant by that? See, there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. But the thing is, the forgiveness comes in a different way. It's under a different regime. It's by different means. Just like the Jews in that day, they're going to judge the nations for their evil and for their wrong. Listen now, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations, or let's say it like this, it shall come to pass that everyone is left of America, of Germany, of the other nations, which came against Jerusalem, that is the nations that sent their armies out to fight against Jerusalem, shall even go up from year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. That is, there must be people or representations of those as to legislation, of those that are kings of the earth. They must report to Jerusalem during that 1,000 years. They must come up and pay tribute to the Lord. And the Bible said, in that day the house of the Lord shall be established, and all nations shall flow unto it. For it shall be a great thing, it shall be a beautiful thing. All nations will be compelled to come up to the house of the Lord there at Jerusalem, where Jesus sits upon the throne. Now, what happens if they don't do it? Do they have a sovereignty? Are they like robots? Will God make them do that? Do they have to do that? Listen, and it tells you. And it shall be that whosoever, or whoso, it says, will not come up of all the families of the earth. So then there is still a sovereignty. It's still people that may not come up. It says all of them must come up to the feast that will be held from year to year. Year to year. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you said time was no more. You said time was more. I remember very distinctly, Brother Pike, you said at Calvary that time was no more. So I did. I guess I'm guilty. But you got to rightly divide the word and understand what I'm saying. I said that time is no more for you, because you're eternal. But time isn't done away with according to these people, as to the seasons and to the years and as to the sun coming up and the sun going down. See, I'm talking about you. We have to differentiate between the church and between the people. See, and it said from year to year, which means as a calendar year, as a time. See, these families, they will not be celestial. They will be just like the rest. They'll be terrestrial. And these will come up to Jerusalem. Somebody will say, well, Brother Pike, I thought when the millennium come, that was heaven and everybody was like the angels. But I told you that wasn't the way. I've told you so many times that wasn't the way. I said it isn't like that at all. I said those are still natural people that's going to need natural homes to live in. They're going to have their natural operations, just farming or whatever, the way they make their livelihood, just like they've always done. And people out there are going to be natural people. And it's going to be still just like this world, except for the fact that all the briars will be gone, because the curse will be lifted and Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, and nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord, and man will live one full God day. Since man sinned, he's never lived a full God day. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die. If a day is as 1,000 years with God, and 1,000 years as a day, he hath never lived one full God day. He's never lived a full God day. See, and it makes it appear that God is to blame for the situation. But God is going to conquer sin, which he did at Calvary. Some are going to believe it and overcome death. And then there won't be any need for burying people, because you won't die. You will be celestial. You'll be resurrected. And the others that come forth, the righteous, shall live until the end of the 1,000 years. And the 1,000 years, when it is over, the wicked shall come forth from their graves. And hail shall hold everything in captivity until the 1,000 years is over, the one God day, and then everything shall be changed into the celestial. Hell shall give up its dead, and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire, and the devil and his angels and these others shall literally be cast into the lake of fire. There will be people alive, the Bible said, and these shall be cast alive into the lake of fire, where the worm dieth not. When God referred to Jacob as a worm, that is the body, where it never ceased to die, or never dies or ceased to exist. As to life and existence is different, but the terms is used where the worm dieth not. It's not in the stages as to the Christian, as to the spiritual person, as to the angelic part, as to the butterfly that's gone through the metamorphosis and left the cocoon. It's not as to that heavenly flight as to life, but it's that cocoon as to accept the wrath, accept or absorb the wrath of God, which is the body, the human body, the body of this death. All right, so then the God day will have to come to pass. And once God gives the whole God day to man, that will mean death is over. That signifies that death is now over. Because in the day thou eatest out, thou shalt die. But if you can live a God day, that means death is conquered. Jesus has at last conquered death, and we're back in the millennium back in the garden as to that perfect way of life where God fellowshipped Adam and Eve. And we could say things that would take us all night long if we just went into the little branches here. So then we can see that there are going to be families that will continue on through the tribulation. Somebody would say, then that doesn't mean that that's just heaven. It's the same earth as it is right now. There's nothing different except that the curse is gone. Folks, I know it's hard for you to get a hold of, but the Bible said God made Eden, and then God made the garden in the east of Eden. And this world that you dwell in is still the same Eden. It's the same Eden that it's always been. Somebody would say, well, I don't believe that. You don't think I'm a moron, do you? Folks, how can it be when the Bible said that four rivers came out even out of the garden? Four of them, as to a head of those rivers, came out of the garden. And I spoke of them as Gihon and Pison and Hiddekel and the river Euphrates. And look at the river Euphrates that's over there right now. If your river Euphrates is over there, then that means it's the same earth. It's the same river that God created. See, but the curse came, and the brides and all of these things that hid the beauties of that garden that has never been found. And it's the same way. Physically, there are the briars. And spiritually, there are the briars. And 1, 2, 3, it follows one another as in a continuity. So then, I'm trying to explain to you that when the millennium comes, it's still going to be the same earth. One generation will come, another will go. And the Bible said the earth abideth forever. That is, a generation is born, lives, and dies, but the earth continues on. See, there's no weakness in the plan of God. It's because of death that you go down to the grave. And you're not a castaway. God's creation isn't lost as a human body. Death hasn't destroyed his creature. He'll bring it back. Every hair of your head is numbered. Scientists have learned that not one thing of God's creation can be destroyed. Not one thing. All of it is preserved, even to the hairs of your head. Now, so we see that we're going to overcome death. And the proof of that is, the Bible said that even during the time of the tribulation, men will seek death, and death will flee from them, and they cannot die because we've conquered death. Even death cannot be an outlet as to a means of relief. Folks, you think death is so horrible, but did you know that death is an outlet? That is something that God has given to have mercy upon you. If you could continue on to see the evils that's coming. The Bible said when the just die, that they're taken away from the evil that is to come. So, we see then that there are people that's going through tribulation. And that during the millennium, that is just going to be a natural earth. That's all. But it's going to be one of a garden. It's going to be one free from sin, free from sickness, free from death, free from problems, free from oppression. It's going to be a joyful time. You don't worry about getting 50 years old and dying. You don't worry about your little baby getting killed. You don't worry about the enemy, the devil oppressing. You're not oppressed. You're not worried. You know, you don't get tired when you work. It'll just be a normal thing for the body. See? And it will be, again, God with his people. Jesus sitting on the throne ruling over all the nations of the earth. And the Bible said, and there will be a king over 10 cities. And there will be a king over maybe 15 cities. And whatever it is, I don't know who it is. It might be you. I might have two or three kings right here in my midst. I don't know. See, who knows? Kings, you say like Oral Roberts, you say like Billy Branham, you say like all of these great men, and then you say, well, will they be kings? Well, you know, that's to be questioned as to whether they've really taught the gospel of Jesus Christ or as to what measure they have indoctrinated the people, or have they really brought the gospel and salvation to the people. As Billy Graham and all the others, have they really preached the true gospel of Jesus Christ? Will they truly be king? They do have followers. And some of them have a lot of following. So then as a king, like Brother Branham, when he went beyond the veil, I remember the people gathered him and set him upon as it was a throne. And the people run to him, and even his wife, Hope, who had passed on many years ago. There was his daughter, there was Hope. And she came around to him, not as a wife, but said, my dear brother, my blessed brother. And there she was young and she was strong and beautiful, you know, as in that day. And Brother Branham was sitting on a throne, but he still wasn't in the place Jesus was in. He said, I want to see Jesus. They said, he's up a little higher. See, the highest of the throne. How many of you remember when I went down to the church there with the black folks over in near LaGrange or somewhere, wherever it was? You know, they invited me up and they set me down in a chair. It was like a throne that was up from the people. And then they put somebody else over here. And then when that pastor come in, he bypassed all of us and went up some steps or something. And he sat way down up here. You know, and I think they brought him a crown or whatever it was. You remember that? Some of you, I think, has it on film. But anyway, I'm just trying to explain something to you. It was said that he's up a little higher. Now, so we see then that's going to be, the world isn't just going to boom and blow up like you think it is. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you told me that all the cities of the nation was going to fall down. I said that John said, I looked and I saw the cities of the nation crumble to the earth. When it speaks of that, it speaks of the skyscrapers like those over in New York and those in Atlanta, Georgia, and those in London and the different places around the world. You say, well, what makes you think that that's going to happen? It's going to happen because I said if the world is tilted on its axis and they built those things on the side of the earth, when the earth goes upright, what's going to happen to the buildings? See, and if it is that when man got tilted on his axis, that the earth also was tilted on its axis and heaven was tilted on its axis, it bears out to show that this actually happened. See, and if they built everything on the tilt, that when the man becomes perfect, the earth will become upright when the man becomes upright, and all of those buildings sitting on the side of the hill is going to go down. It's going to tire them up, because all of those great mountains that's been in the ocean all of this time will come out of the ocean, because those mountains went down in the ocean when the earth was tilted during the time of the great flood, no doubt. They went down like that. See, and when they went down into the ocean. Somebody said, well, what happened to the garden? Why don't you figure that out? The mountains went down into the ocean. So then where is the garden? It was taken away so that they couldn't see it. Now, God did that. But the thing is, if that was to have to do with the garden, and if that was the mountains that one time were in view, John says in this deluge that the mountains are going to move out of their place, which means that the ones that are up now, one time apparently was under the ocean. And the ones that's under the ocean now, one time was up. And if John sees the mountains move out of their place, the great earthquakes is going to take place. That's why you've got so much problem with them now. The earth is not sitting right. God did that. Why did God do that? He did that so the sun would strike the earth like this, going across the equator. The earth laying like this, the equator like this, and the sun going like this. Just like recently, the sun came across the equator. The equator means divide the world into equal parts, as to two parts. When the sun comes across the equator, it is called the equinox, because it comes across the equator as the spring equinox. And then after a while, it goes round and round, goes back over till it goes back toward wintertime, the fall. On the other side of the earth, it crosses again. It's the fall equinox, or the equator again. See, and the sun hides away. But right now, God's got it so that the earth being like this, that the sun will strike it like that. See, and the thing that holds it in that place, I believe, is the polar caps. Because all of that water, that great deluge, everything during that time, and the Lord just froze this end of it up and it holds it in that position. But should that sun heat up seven times like it's going to do one day, it's going to melt that polar cap. Right now, it won't hit that. It goes around like this. God's got it laying there like this to show that man is off. He's tilted on his axis. You know, the imaginary axis of science, knowledge falsely so-called. But anyway, it goes around like that. When that melts, then all of a sudden, through these earthquakes, up comes the earth. And John sees the mountains move out of their places, which means the mountains that now are will go down to the ocean. And he saw these other mountains come up, which has to do with that hidden garden and has to do with that land that has been there all these many years through the fertility of that which has been hid. It's going to be so fertile when it comes up. It's been hid under the waters, and the fertility of all of that of the fish and whatever. See, when it comes back up, then it's going to blossom like a rose. And it's going to bring in that beautiful, beautiful millennium. See, and it's going to come up, and there's going to be a God day, one great 1,000 years millennium before God will glorify it, as to bring back the Shekinah illumination of that which was in the garden. When the Shekinah breaks forth from within man and comes out on the body, then the earth will fly back up into its place. That'll be having to do with the change coming to Revelation 19. This will have to do with Revelation, or rather Thessalonians change, when the trumpet sounds. So then this will come back up. We don't have time to go into this. I'll have to press and hurry if I get into all those things. But anyway, just sticking with the theme of our thought here. Will anybody go through the tribulation? Well, we see the earth coming back up. Sevenfold the heat will be. Where will the lake of fire come from? If you look, you can see pictures from science to where there are great flames from the sun leaping up into the heavens for hundreds and thousands of miles. These flames leap because of this great burning inferno. See, and when it heats seven times, what is going to cause it to heat seven times? Even scientists tell us right now that these different things that they're using as to chemicals and whatever, some of them affect the ozone. And it's already eating away. There's already a hole there. And these are the spheres that keeps the wrath of God off of the earth. Oh, that is the wrath of the sun, as we would say. Typically speaking, the wrath of God off of you and I in that the middle wall of partition. This middle wall of partition where the Lord was made sin and he caught the blast of the fiery indignation of God at Calvary to keep it off of you and I. And then put the blood on the seat of atonement so that the wrath of God cannot get beyond the ozone of God as to that protection, that power of mediation, that's in between. But someday that blood is going to come off the seat of atonement. Just like now it shows it's time for the blood to come off the seat of atonement. We're moving toward it because the ozone is being eaten up. If it's eaten up, then the sun is going to become sevenfold. It's going to get hotter and hotter. And the Bible said that the people are going to gnaw their tongues for pain and they're going to blaspheme the God of heaven. And the Bible said they're literally going to be scorched because that heat is going to be so great. Someone would say, Brother Pike, do you actually believe it? God's going to let the sun scorch them? I'm telling you, brother and sister, he's going to do more than that. He's going to let them burn to a crisp. He's going to let that sun turn the earth into a lake of fire. He's going to let the earth will just be in a blaze. I'm speaking now of the very heavens. The very heavens will be on fire. When we say heavens, that is to say the elements will melt with fervent heat, like the atomic particles around you. Peter said, seeing that even the elements will be on fire, what manner of person ought we to be in all holy conversation, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the Lord Jesus? So then the heavens being on fire, Peter said, and the earth and all therein shall utterly be dissolved, be burned up. The heavens will melt down. The stars, all of those planets that's made out of nickel and rock will literally melt and drip down. And as these things lose their hold in orbit, after the sun's abnormal reaction, they will shoot through space. And when they shoot through space, space coming down with the friction that they'll come down with, it will actually burn the potentials out of them and leave them brimmed. And they're nothing but stone, nickel, and rock. And if it melts the nickel and whatever out of them, and they'll come hurling down through space and then just blow all to pieces. And it'll be stone, and it will be hot. It'll be hot fire, burning like a blaze of fire. And it'll be so hot, it'll be fine brimstone that'll be rained down out of heaven just like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. So then we see that this heat is coming. Now, when will the ultimatum of this be? As I read to you, not utter destruction, but at the end of this millennium, the Bible teaches that these people that rebel against God, Satan will come up out of the earth once again and go throughout the nations to deceive the people. To the four corners of the earth, he will gather them from the four corners of the earth, where all of these kings are, all of these that refuse to come up and honor the Lord. And he will gather together the seed of Gog and Magog as a great mighty army, as the sands of the sea. And the Bible said they together one more time will go up against Jerusalem to overthrow the king and to put themselves in a king. And the Bible said when they do this, then comes God, the great light from which the heavens flee away, the ocean flees away, hell shows and gives up its dead, the graves give up its dead. Everything flees away from God. There's nothing left except the body of the Lord Jesus Christ as members in particular. Those that are the only one that dwell in the light, Jesus that dwells in that light alone. And then come that great celestial city, and only those that will be spared as to walk in the light of that city will be there through that great millennium process. All right, so then we see that even during the millennium, there'll still be dead folks in the graves. There'll still be dead folks in the ocean. And there'll still be those that are in hell. And the wicked dead shall not live again till that 1,000 years is finished. So then we see where hell is coming from. We see where the lake of fire is coming from. We see all these things taking place. And I wished I had time to detail these things, because saying so many things to you, sometimes it frustrates and confuses your mind. But I'm trying to explain this part majorly as to what happens in tribulation. Will there be anybody going through tribulation? Shall anybody be saved after the blood comes off the seat of atonement? Where does the blood come off the seat of atonement? I told you in the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation, it shows that when all of the chaos starts taking place on earth. I don't have to explain that. We got some tapes here that tells you that when that angel filled that censer with fire of the altar and threw it into the earth, that all these hideous things start happening. It says here, "And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain." So in the millennium, will there be rain? Of course, there will be rain. There will be rain in the millennium. Will there be any rain upon you and I? No, I went into the garden and explained that as to what the rain had to do with, as to watering from within, and how that it came down to keep everything alive after it was cut off from within. And now we're back to that which is within, and God is within us. And the Bible said in the 13th chapter, it says, I read it to you here, "And in that day there shall be a fountain open in the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." See, "And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesied. And it shall come to pass in that day that prophets shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive." That is, they'll be ashamed when they prophesy. But that word rough garment means no sackcloth and ashes, and I'm trying to hurry along now. "But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth." That is, there won't be no need for prophets out there. "And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, Those which with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." Now that's the coming of the Lord. That's the coming of the Lord. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherds, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherds, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, It is my people, and they shall say, The Lord is my God." Goes on to say, "For behold, the day of the Lord cometh." All right, now, let's read on down to finish what we started here. "And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, they have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that comes not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Now, somebody would say, "Well, then what are you saying?" It says, "And there shall be a plague that will smite the heathens." Someone would say, "Well, Brother Pike, surely you must be clear out of your mind. You're talking about heathens being there." It says, "And if the family of Egypt, being some of those that was left, as of those that come up in the battle, and that Egypt is going to go up against Jerusalem," he said, "if the families don't come up," as to individual families, he said, "there will be no rain on them," he said, "and the plague will be upon them, and he will smite the heathens with that plague that comes not up to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of the Tabernacle." When is this? It says, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day, and there shall be one Lord and his name one." And if they don't come up, The plague will come. In that day, somebody said, what day are you speaking of, Brother Pike? You must be speaking of another day. It said, the day of the Lord shall come. What day is that day? It explains it right here in the 20th verse. In that day shall there be upon the bales of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seed therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. So we say, what day is that? It's the day when there shall be holiness unto the Lord on the pots and the pans. So then, we see that the millennium is not at all the way that people look at it. As long as there is people in the earth, there's going to be problems in the earth. As long as there are people, there's going to have to be judges and there's going to have to be kings. And even in the celestial, will the kingship of men stop? No. After the millennium, the Bible speaks still of 24 elders that sit around his throne, and that periodically they cast their thrones down, or rather their crowns down at his feet, saying, Lord of lords and King of kings. And I say again, if there are to be Lord of lords, then there has to be King of kings. Which means that if he is Lord of lords, there has to be some lords somewhere. There has to be some kings somewhere. And the Bible said the kings of the earth that walk in the light of this great city, as all those nations, shall come periodically in through the gates of this great city and cast their crowns down at his feet, giving him glory as Lord of lords and the King of kings. So then, who knows? You might be rubbing elbows with a king. Who knows? It might be that you will be under one of those kings. It's for sure that you're going to be in that city where the 24 kings are, or you're going to be out of that city in the light of the city, and there's going to be a kingship, there's going to be a ruling, there's going to be a government, there's going to be a system in that day. And so then, if we're expecting to take this little outlook that some of us do as a saying, well, bless God, I am a preacher too. Bless God, I don't have to be under anybody. Bless God, I'm a son of God. Bless God, I'm free. If you're going to take that silly notion and that silly outlook, then you're going to find yourself exiled in the darkness and not having any part in this. Like Paul said, I have to present you before God in that day as a shepherd of the sheep. And whatever it is, folks, whoever it is, you'll have to honor them. Even the brotherhood submitting one to another. And you might as well learn conformity now. And you might as well learn submission now. Or you're going to be cut out of all of these beautiful things that God has given, because right now is the time that men's inter-spiritual angelic beings are being translated into the kingdom of God. For the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been here in the earth, and men press their way into it. Oh, that is, their spiritual being presses against the demon powers of Satan that's wrestling in their flesh against their soul, to overcome the flesh, to put it down, to be free from the body of this death by the confession of the righteousness of the Son of God and what he hath done in our behalf. That's the only way to get into the kingdom. You can do what you want to. You know I'm just your preacher. But I only said this that we might take away a lot of conglomeration of confusion as to questions and wondering and sayings as to what different ones are saying about their ideas and how they feel. We shouldn't be giving our ideas. We shouldn't be giving how we feel. The answer is always the Bible. It's what the Bible says about it. And we should give the more earnest heed to the things that we hear, lest at any time we should let them slip. And we should take heed how that we hear them, to incorporate these in our life, that we might not be giving our idea as to what we think. For the Bible said to add unto God's word, the plague will be added unto you. To take away from God's word, the Bible said your names will be taken out of the Lamb's book of life. Blotted out. All right, let's stand again.
Appreciate you being here. I love to get into these things, but it bothers me because I don't have enough time to teach you. You're too impatient. And I know that. And I start hurrying, and when I do, I start stumbling around because I don't have the time to detail these things. And that's why I'm so reluctant to get into it. I just kind of preach you a little sermonette and let you go home unless God anoints you with something for revelation. Many things to send to you. When I say all these many things, I say these things to you. And then, of course, some of you get conglomerated in your mind because so many things is being said that you don't understand them all. And somebody said, well, it's not like that with me, Brother Pike. I understand everything. Well, I hope you can come back and get converted and be born again. You know, because I know that's the condition you're in. You ain't understanding nothing. But some of you are understanding some things, you know. The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. And he said, few there be that find it. And even the few that find it, they're going to find it in part. See, so I know that you don't know what you're talking about. But there's one thing about it. If you're honest and sincere and do say, Brother Pike, I tried hard to listen very carefully to everything, and I know that I've got some of it. I know that it's in my heart, and I know it'll work its way out, and I know I'll be able to put some of this together and tell the people, you know, and explain to the people, and that's good, because I know I still got some of them here that's planning to put it in their back pocket. They've got their ministers. And they're there planning to get off just as quick as they can. It's just wearing them to death because they're getting older and older before they get off. And they're really wanting to go because they feel they've already got it. But every time they get ready to go, they come to service and another stream is opened up. And they say, my God, I better get this before I go. And it just keeps them tore up all the time. But like Dale said one time concerning something about writing songs and whatever. And why that BMI would want you to... sign a contract with them, you know, said they know that it's an inexhaustible supply. When you've got God on the inside, it's an inexhaustible supply. It's like an artesian well, and you don't have to pump it up. It's just billowing out. And it does that 5 years and 10 years and 20 years and 30 years and on and on and on. It does it throughout eternity. God is ever new, ever doing a new thing. And, it would be good if you that feel that you know anything at all would consider that he that is taught must communicate with him in all things that teacheth. And it would do good if you would get in your mind that you belong to a brotherhood and there ain't going to be no division and no splitting up and you're not going to get to run off and start your church so you can have the income and retire. It's not going to work like that. You're just going to run off and dry up as a limb, and God's going to throw you in the fire and burn you. But that if you are part of the brotherhood, that you can work with the brotherhood and establish and carry this revelation around the world to remain as a part of the brotherhood. But if you're not, God will eventually weed you out, because the Bible said every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. You know, that's the difference between Jerusalem and the people that are Protestant people as to what they call Christians. They that call themselves Christians, some of them are so blind they don't know what they're doing. They split up in splinters from Methodist to Baptist to Presbyterian and everything else, and all of them having a different view. But the Jews get together as one nation and they set that as a government and they stay together. And that's why the Lord's coming back to them in spite of their mistakes. God has blinded them in part. He's the one that's done that. And the Bible said, when that which is perfect is come, that in part will be done away with. And the Lord Jesus has come to us and it's no more in part to us. But he said, all things that my Father hath made known unto me, I've made known unto you. And ye have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things. And now Jerusalem will come in as that which is perfect has come to them to show the nail prints. And now theirs in part will be done away with. And they'll come into the light. For if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, let's sing together. When, give me another case. The world seems cold and your friends seem few. There is someone who cares for you. With the tears in your eyes, your heart bleeds inside. There is someone who cares for you. There is someone to care, someone to share all your troubles like no other can do. He'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. He's your friend and he cares for you. You love the Lord, someone to care, someone to brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child, and he cares for you. You love him? Can we give him a hand? I sing another little chorus. We sing this chorus quite often. Wasted years, oh how foolish, as you wander along, darkness and fear, turn around, for God is calling, he's calling you from a life of wasted years. As you wander along down life's pathway, without love, a life of tears. Have you searched for that great highest meaning? Or is your life a life of wasted years, oh how foolish, as you stumble alone in darkness and fear. Turn around, God is calling. From a life of wasted years. Sing that with me now. Wasted years. Oh, how foolish. As you stumble in darkness and turn around, for God is calling. from all life of wasted years. One more time.
Wasted. Oh, how foolish as you walk in darkness
and fear. Turn around. Turn around. For God is called. From all life of waste. One more time together. The altars are open. Wasted years, oh how foolish, as you stumble in darkness and fear. Turn around, for God is calling. He's calling you from a life of wasted years. And He was here all the looking over into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Sing this with me now. After all, this life is over, and my burden's high. And I stand upon the mountain, oh so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said He's preparing. Gives me faith that I can make it. After all, life is over, and my birth has been dead, and I stand upon the mountain also. Faith that I can make it. across the bridge. There's no more sorrow across the bridge. There's no more pain. There the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. In this life we're living in, I have lived a life of sin.
I have done forbidden
things I couldn't do. I met my Savior on the way. I asked Him for a place to stay, where there's real happiness and love that's true. Across the bridge, sorrow across the bridge, bear no more pain. The sun's gonna shine. Sing that one more time with us. No more sorrow across the bridge. There's no more pain. And we'll never be unhappy again. Let's give Him a hand. Let's sing this little chorus together. Will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while the ages grow? This question, where will you be? Just one life to live on earth, and it still passes by from the moment of our birth until time to die. God has given us this choice to decide our destiny in a million years. Where will you be? Where will you be? Million years from now, will you be happy?
this question, where will you be? In the Bible we are told the day soon to come when the people of the earth will be gathered round God's throne. When you stand before the King, there for all the earth to see what play well done. Where will you be? A million years from now, will you be happy? Will you be singing? Ages throughout eternity. Yes, this question, where will you be? And I thank thee for the valley I walk through today.
The darker
the valley,
the
more I learn to pray.
I found thee
as the lily, her blooming by the way. And I thank thee for the valley I walk through today. Thank thee for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank thee for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. I thank thee for the valley I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine or the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings, or there'd be no need to pray. So I thank thee for the valley I walk through today. Thank thee for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank thee for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank thee for the valley I walk through today.
As the Bible said, it's not just given on our part to be blessed and to reign with Him, but it's given on our part to suffer with Him, and that we should equip ourselves with a mind to suffer. We're going to sing another little chorus or two, and then we're going to let you go. You're ready for the bridegroom to come. Are you ready for the bride? Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white.
and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Better get ready for the bridegroom. Better get ready for the bridegroom. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all ready, white, and we're ready for the bridegroom. Are you ready for the bridegroom? Are you ready for the bridegroom? Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed fireless white, and I'm ready for the bride.
Take it again.
Yes, we're ready for the bride. Oh, we're ready for the Savior to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the Savior to come. Are you ready for the bride? Are you ready for Jesus to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready now for Jesus.
One more time together.
Oh, we're ready for...
You know what? Tonight, you that are born again, you have on the beautiful garments. You have on that beautiful wedding garment. Spotless white. The evil one touch you not. You've been washed in the blood. And you've got that garment on.
Oh, I'm ready for the...
You know why? You say, well, Brother Pike, I look at myself and I can't see that garment. But you got to remember, the body of this death is gone. It's dead. It's buried. It's not you living, but it's Jesus. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the wedding garment.
Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom. Oh, we're ready for that bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom.
One more time.
Oh, I'm ready for my Savior. Oh, I'm ready for my Savior to come. For be it morning or night, we're gonna take a heavenly flight, and I'm ready for my Savior.
One more time.
Oh, we're ready for the bride. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom. For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom.
Let's give him a hand. Let's sing this song, and time shall be no more.
And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and land, and time shall be.
And time for the church now, for the Christian, it's no more,
divine time for the saints of it's no more. For the angel did stand on the sea and the land, and I, for the saints is, you know, we're singing again now, and I shall be no more, no more. You know, for you, time is no more. The angel has already stood in the foreknowledge of God. This was given to us. All of God's works known unto him from the beginning of the world, the angel stood there in his foreknowledge. And God wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life as those that be the eternal ones. The time could not affect us. And time shall be. We never have been time creatures. Because with time creatures, there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. We never had a time to be born. Never had a time to die. Before the world ever was, our names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we were the elect and the predestinated. So time can be no more, no more. See, the thing is, we have discovered that we're not time creatures, but we're eternal gods. We're elect. As Jesus, he was, he is, and forever shall be. We as the body of the Lord Jesus, we were, we are, and shall ever be. Because we're from the loins of our Father. We're not time creatures. There's no time for us to die. For time shall be no more, no more. Time shall be no more. For the angel stands on the sea and the land, and I shall be no more. And and we will praise him. We will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. We will give him a wave offering, and we will praise him. We will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain.
name one more time.
And we will pray.
You know, I think about my people. I know that some of you really are my people. And someday I'll stand before the throne of God with you. I know that. And I believe that you love the Lord, and I believe you're trying to do right, and I know you have problems, and I know you stumble. But God's grace is sufficient. He loves you. He's washed you white in the blood of the Lamb. And I'm glad to present you as a people to God. One more time together. If you want to praise Him, open your heart up to Him.
Or we will praise Him. We will praise Him.
Can you lift your hands? Close your eyes.
Sinners slain.
One more time together.
Oh, I love Him more. I love Him, Lord. That Lamb for me that was slain. Let us give to Him all the glory. Let us call upon Jesus' name, for I will love Him. My poor love, love the Lamb for sinners slain. Yield Him, washed away.
Just one more time and we're going to close.
Will you praise Him? Will you praise Him? Praise that Lamb for sinners.
I think I'm going to call Brother Ron to come up and dismiss us. Tomorrow, Brother Ron Clyde's coming. Brother Ron Clyde, while he's coming to dismiss us, I want you to worship the Lord. One more time, we'll sing it like this.
And we'll you praise.